Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This year we're doing a series of special programs between Christmas and New Year's, and you've tuned in for just such a special program. Do remember all the resources that I talk about during the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write us, of course, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I want to begin the broadcast by asking all of you to consider giving generously to this ministry. We cannot do, as I say so often on the broadcast, we simply cannot do what we do without you. We would very, very much like you to join us, to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We live in an epic moment in human history. We cannot account for what other generations have done before us. We can learn from that. Nor can we be responsible for generations that may yet be in the future. But we are responsible for what we do in our generation. And so today I want to talk about giving. And of course, there are a lot of ways of giving. We can give our time. We can give of our talent. And we can most certainly give of our treasure. This ministry is sustained by a core group of people. They're called CRI support team members. And when you join CRI's monthly support team, what you do is you give on a regular monthly basis and you stand with many who are doing the same thing. This is the foundation to the support that allows us to reach people not just in the West, but over the entirety of the world. This year alone, I have had the privilege of ministering in many different locations. I think of how the Lord early on in the year called me to the West Bank. And I had a tremendous opportunity to present the gospel in such a way that it would reach out to many, many people who thought that for genealogical reasons, societal reasons, that somehow or other they were never going to be part of a Christian community, that they were inferior in some way according to the Christian worldview. Well, properly presenting the Christian worldview made all the difference in the world. I remember as well how this summer I was permitted by the Lord to teach many, many, many missionary families in Thailand. These are actual families that are boots on the ground all over the world in places like China. And so during that training, I had the opportunity to give them tools. And they are desperate for those tools. But again, all of that made possible by people that stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. All told, this year I was in 8 different countries. And as a result of standing shoulder to shoulder together with you in the battle for life and truth, made a difference for time and for eternity. Many of you are familiar with what is going on in the West. Our radio broadcast, our journal, the resources we have on the web, that's now being spread around the globe. And we're entering an era in which we have a new media, a new digital outlet that makes such a difference in terms of the expanse of reach. And so again, when you stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, you're not just making a difference here and there, but quite frankly, almost everywhere. The facts tell us today that quite simply, we fall short in our teaching and theology of money. The facts also tell us that the largest givers in our history are heading towards death and retirement. And they're going to be replaced by a generation of non-givers. The facts tell us that the current social and political climates don't bode well for giving. And because of that, it's important that we return to a proper theology of giving. We need to preach once again that everything belongs to God, just as in the early church where giving was in the open. We need to be open in our teaching and preaching on money. There's little doubt that financial issues are central to the lives of people today, and thus, so should be our teaching. If there was ever a time for teaching on biblical stewardship, now is that time. Paul's teaching was to instruct those, and these are his words, those who are rich in this present, not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches in this present, but rather on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share. That reminds me of a story that I want to share with you. This story has to do with a biblical example of giving. You could call it an anecdote because in some sense this story flooded my mind when I was standing in a stream. I had the privilege to go to Greece with my brother and one of my nephews and two of my boys, David and Paul Stephen, and while I was in Greece, we stood in a stream, and I told them this story. This story is a story that starts in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, where the Apostle Paul, who had just been supernaturally prevented from entering the coastal cities of Asia, was granted a vision in which a man quite literally begged him to come and preach the gospel in Macedonia. Well, of course, Paul heeded the Macedonian call, as we now call it, and he is, along with his companions, including Luke, immediately set sail for Philippi. You'll recall that Philippi was the chief of the Macedonian cities. And there in Philippi, by God's sovereign arrangement, he encountered a woman named Lydia. And Lydia, by God's grace and goodness, was to become the first Christian convert in the whole of the European continent. Think about that. That was an epic moment. She was a dealer in purple cloth, not only wealthy, but by all accounts, she was extraordinarily hospitable. And as such, after she and the members of her household were baptized, she urged Paul and his companions to take up residence in her house. I think that's noteworthy in that the Macedonian churches that arose from her conversion were enormously generous as well. In other words, they learned from her example. Unlike Lydia, however, they did not give out of their abundance, but rather they gave out of their poverty. That's what Paul talks about. Out of the most severe trial, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. The significance here should not be missed. Lydia gave out of extraordinary prosperity. The Macedonian churches, however, gave out of extreme poverty. And I think we all must ask the question, why? The answer comes from Scripture itself. Because they understood that becoming followers of Jesus Christ meant enduring. No, embracing not only bitter persecutions and appalling miseries, but the loss of social standing and financial resources. So they came to faith in Christ in a climate in which it was not politically correct, and they suffered as a direct result of that. But they were willing to embrace in deep poverty the Lord Jesus Christ because they had found a security that was far deeper still. Paul's words in this regard are very moving, and I would say even more, tremendously convicting. I testify, said the apostle to the Gentiles, I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. Perhaps that needs more emphasis. I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, in other words, no coercion, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And herein lies an irony of sorts, an irony largely lost on the 21st century church. By all human accounts, the Macedonians had forfeited all that one would deem to be security. This, the world would deem a waste. And yet, from a heavenly perspective, they had harnessed the wealth of the world for the consummation of the kingdom. In giving themselves, along with their gifts, they had secured the very favor of Almighty God. And I suppose when we think about this anecdote, this story which comes directly from the Scriptures, and I thought about it a lot, being in Greece and standing in the very stream in which Lydia was baptized. When you think about this, you recognize that here a group of people lose their social standing. They lose a lot of their financial resource, but instead of being impoverished, they were enriched because now, instead of depending on their own arm of flesh, they had securely tethered themselves to God's omnipotent resources. They were clinging to the arm of God. And I suppose as we talk on this broadcast about the beauty of giving, we can say with certainty that you cannot outgive the Lord. I know that finding my vocation when I became a Christian became very, very easy. Before I was a Christian, it's like, well, finding a needle in a haystack. But once you become a Christian, that needle becomes readily discernible. You find what your place in life is, and this is the way God provides for us. He provides for every detail of our lives. Not a hair can fall from our heads, other than the Lord completely knows, and not only knows, but cares. So give as you have been given, and give with a grateful heart, because you cannot take it with you. I will tell you that for sure. You can send it ahead. And I hope many of you will, this season, as we approach the end of the year, consider investing in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Lots of resources available for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. Be pleased to personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer book to you, a family member, or a friend. Check it out on the web at equip.org.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. Your tax-deductible gift today will help CRI end the year strong and prepared for even greater ministry in 2017. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Russell Kirk has captured our modern plight, stating, "A good many people fret themselves over the rather improbable speculation that the Earth may be blown asunder by nuclear weapons. The grimmer and more immediate prospect is that men and women may be reduced to a subhuman state through limitless indulgence in their own vices, with ruinous consequences to society. But despite the darkness, the good news is that believers can help others and themselves become winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ." As thanks for your gift and support of CRI's life-changing work, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Stu Epperson's First Words of Jesus, which poignantly connects the story of Christmas with the victory of the cross and resurrection. simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. C.S. Lewis reminds us that there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God. This truth is beautifully captured in a book titled The Heavens Proclaim His Glory, a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble Telescope. In appreciation for your support of the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit online at equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You've tuned in to a special series of broadcasts between Christmas and New Year's as we do some deep dives into subjects that are transcendently important, subjects that should consume our thinking in the coming year. The deep dive today has to do with M-O-N-E-Y, money, how we can use our time, but even more, our talent and our treasure for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Answering some questions is part of the process. The first question I want to address is what the Bible teaches about debt. In Romans, Paul says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. I'm thinking about the fact that in terms of owing, America has become a debtor nation. We now have approximately a $20 trillion debt. You know, some people believe that the universe is somewhere between 13 and 14 billion years old, and that's a big number in the minds of many people, but it actually becomes a pretty small number when you think about a $20 trillion debt. So America has become a debtor nation, but most Americans are themselves drowning in debt. Our day-to-day dependence on debt should raise a question in our mind. What does the Bible say about it? The Bible has something to say about it. The Bible warns that the borrower is servant to the lender. That's true on a national basis. It's true on a personal basis as well. And therefore, we're warned against the folly of being excessively indebted to those who may be unforgiving in their demands for repayment. We ought to take seriously the wisdom of the proverb, do not be a man who strikes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. Not only that, but Scripture condemns the failure to repay our debts as wickedness. In the words of the psalmist, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. And likewise, the Apostle Paul urged believers to diligently repay their debts. One other point that should be made in this regard is that whether in the theocracy of ancient Israel or in the democracy of modern America, the bottom line is this. God's people are called to be good stewards of the resources He has entrusted to them. If we lend, we ought to do it with kindness. And if we borrow, we ought to borrow with prudence. Now, many of you listening to my voice right now might think, well, I have already blown it. The final chapter, however, has not been written. I mean, this is one of the reasons I think that we have to come back to a biblical perspective on money, a biblical perspective on resources. The The information that I just communicated you can find in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. There's a section on resources or money, and I have some entries there. I think they're important. You might want to get the book and ponder them. The book is available for those who support the ministry, and for those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. This is a deep dive that you've tuned into on the whole issue of giving, which brings up another question that I want to answer. What is the biblical view of wealth? Let me start with a passage in unpacking that. In Matthew chapter 6, we have the Lord Jesus Christ himself saying this, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In other words, you can't serve God and money. You have to choose who you will serve. Choose this day who you're going to serve. I'm absolutely persuaded that the Bible teaches what I would call a form of Christian capitalism. What that means is responsibility associated with wealth. God's word does not promote the possession of money for the sake of possessing money, but instead encourages us to use money for the sake of the kingdom. What that means, in short, is that we need to have an eternal perspective. It's crucial, absolutely critical, that we realize the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in the world. In other words, God is the landlord. We are just tenants. We did not arrive with anything, and we most certainly will not take anything with us when we leave. And just remembering that fact is going to save you from a world of hurt. Again, you didn't arrive with anything. You're not going to take anything with you when you leave. We came in empty, we will leave empty, except for what we did while we were here. Again, that ought to, it ought to motivate us to consider our time, our talent, and our treasure very, very carefully as we enter 2017. I'd also like to say this. Poverty does not equal piety, and riches do not equal righteousness. God prospers some, and he puts others in more humble circumstances. If indeed there were a one-to-one ratio between godliness and wealth, the godliest people in the world would be the wealthiest people in the world. But if you look at the Forbes 500, that will immediately eliminate that kind of illusory thinking. So the bottom line here is that there are many people who are preaching that riches are a demonstration that you have great faith. Because if you have learned to harness faith, then you will have money. You'll be able to speak to your checkbook, and your checkbook will suddenly be full of resources. At least you can draw with your checkbook on the resources in the bank because you've spoken to your checkbook. The idea is that faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, you can create lots of money. This, however, is an illusion. It is a prosperity gospel being preached not only in America but around the world. And some of the most desperate people buy into it, because it sounds good and they're told it comes directly from the Word of God, but it does not. It's important for us to view wealth with eternity in mind, to lead our lives here below as responsible stewards, and that is whether you have a little or a lot. because one day at the judgment, God himself will richly reward you. What I'm saying, in essence, is your bank statement in heaven counts more than your bank statement on earth. If you fix your hope on the one you have down here, you are bankrupt no matter how many digits you count next to your name. I love what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So you're not supposed to store up for yourselves treasures on earth. You're supposed to store for yourself treasures in heaven. Because in heaven, moth and rust do not corrupt, and thieves cannot break in and steal. And then if your heart follows your treasure to heaven, now you have an eternal perspective. So there's a real practical sense in which what we do with our resources really determines where our heart is. I mean, I'm going to say something convicting. It's not just convicting to you, but it's convicting to me. If you really want to find out where your perspective lies, there are two things you can do. One is you can look at your calendar. What are you giving your time to? The other is you can look at your checkbook. What are you giving your resources to? For those of you that have not made a habit of giving, you don't have to start out big. What you have to do is build a habit. It's very much like memorizing scripture. When I tell people to memorize scripture, I don't tell them to memorize a chapter a week. I tell them perhaps a verse a month. Maybe a verse a week, but I usually like to start people at a verse a month, because then they can build a habit. If you started this year, 2017, coming up, a verse a month, in the course of 2017, you would have memorized 12 verses, which for many of you probably is more than you memorized in 2016. This is the same idea with giving. Start a regular habit of giving. And when you do, you will see the Lord is faithful, and then you can build on that habit. When I come back from the break, I'm going to do a couple of things. One, I'm going to give you a quote of the day, but the other thing I want to talk to you about is the tithe. Is the tithe for today? And I want to explain the difference between tithing and free will giving. Both have relevance, incidentally. But you can move from one to the other, and when you do, you are going to catch a contagious joy. Do remember, you can listen to the Bible Answer Men broadcast in a lot of different ways, including on our CRI Equip app. You can download the app free of charge on the web at equip.org/app, and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and much, much more is as close as your smart device. Again, just go to equip.org/app. Coming up in just a few moments, more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the resources that I talk about on the show, you can find on the web. Again, equip.org. We're equipping you to always be ready to give an answer. We'll be right back.
Despite the growing spiritual and moral darkness and ominous cultural storm clouds on the horizon, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus are making a genuine difference. Through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and a website bursting with both scholarly and practical resources, your generous support has enabled the Christian Research Institute to equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. Because so much remains at stake in the lives of so many, please prayerfully consider a special Christmas or year-end gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches, and call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Eminent historian Christopher Dawson observed that the great religions are the foundations on which the great civilizations rest. A society that has lost its religion sooner or later becomes a society that has lost its culture. For us, this means that the 2,000 years of Western civilization, undergirded by the Judeo-Christian worldview, the only true worldview, cannot be abandoned without a fight. Join the battle and help equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory, a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble Telescope. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. With about 2 trillion galaxies, each with billions of stars, the numbers simply boggle the mind. Yet the psalmist says, "The Lord determines the number of stars and calls them each by name." As technology advances, what astronomers once thought were flickering stars turn out to be inconceivably immense galaxies at distances they could not begin to fathom. The Heavens Proclaim His Glory is the title of a new book offering a spectacular view of creation through the lens of the Hubble Telescope in full-colored pictures. This beautifully crafted book will ignite conversation and keep before your consciousness the majesty of God. To receive your copy of The Heavens Proclaim His Glory as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Now with more of the answers you need today, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and you've tuned in to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're doing a deep dive on the whole issue of using your resources for God's kingdom and for His glory. And as we do this, we're asking people to stand with the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, prayerfully and financially. Whatever you can do as the year-end approaches would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And you can always as well pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. The quote of the day comes from Watchman Nee. Some of you will recall Watchman Nee being one of the most significant Christians to come out of China. He was preaching early on in the century, 20th century. Eventually, in 1952, he was arrested. He was convicted and imprisoned in 1956, and he ended up dying in a communist labor camp in China in 1972. What's interesting about his story is that his story did not end with his imprisonment, because what he had begun before he was imprisoned, as it were, climbed over the wall and eventually marched throughout the world. It's an incredible story in that the work of Watchman Nee and the work of others has caused China to now swell to over 100 million Christians, and many of them draw their spiritual heritage back to Watchman Nee. He was eminently quotable, and in a book which, well, it's a great read. You can find it on the web at equip.org. It's called The Normal Christian Life. He said this, and it is our quote of the day. The idea of waste only comes into our Christianity when we underestimate the worth of our Lord. If we do not think much of Him, then of course to give Him anything at all, however small, will seem to us a wicked waste. But when He is really precious to our souls, nothing will be too good. Nothing will be too costly for Him. Everything we have, our dearest, our most priceless treasure, we shall pour out upon Him, and we shall not count it a shame to have done so. Of course, that is precisely what Mary did when she anointed Jesus with the contents of a costly alabaster flask. To those who did not understand the principles of the kingdom, it seemed but a wicked waste. But to Mary, it was a grand memorial to the worth of her Lord. So if you really recognize kingdom principles and the King of Kings and want to be a participant, a co-consummator of the kingdom, when you give your time, talent, and treasure, it doesn't seem wasteful. It seems to be extravagantly useful for kingdom purposes, not just for time, but for eternity, which leads me to a deep dive on the question of the tithe and free will given. Both you find in the scripture. You go to the Old Testament, one of my favorite proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, right around verse 9 and 10, we hear Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, at least we're accepting him from the Anthropos, the God-man, Jesus Christ. No one wiser than Jesus Christ. But Solomon was known for his wisdom. And he said, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I say that because research demonstrates that not only do the vast majority of Christians not tithe regularly, but many give little or nothing at all. And part of that is because we have not in the church taught an abundant theology of giving. We've neglected that. And again, that's the reason that we're having the deep dive today. So we're addressing a question that is not only incredibly convicting, but is increasingly crucial in an age in which people have become consumeristic as opposed to an age of givers like the war generations. Tithing has been described, I think, in a beautiful way as the training wheels of giving. It's as important today, I think, as it has ever been. We all need to learn what it is to stride free and unfettered down the path of Christian stewardship. Because in learning to give, we also are learning, and I talked about this in the first segment today, we're learning to lean more heavily upon our Heavenly Father and less heavily upon ourselves. Those who have traveled the Calvary Road for any length of time surely can testify to the truth that God is ever faithful. And I will tell you, this is perhaps a little digression, but I would tell you that this is something that I have to learn year and year over. I can tell you with respect to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, and I've been at its helm since 1988, I can tell you that there have been so many times in which I worried. I worried that God would meet the needs of the ministry. And yet, God has been faithful. And here we now are approaching the year 2017, and I still, quite frankly, have not fully learned the lesson. I keep thinking God has been faithful in the past. Is he going to be faithful again in the future? And I think of myself with the words, O ye of little faith. So I'm learning this. This is not me pontificating to you, but I'm learning this. I'm learning to trust. And one of the things that has helped me greatly is in my prayer life, I spend a good deal of time thanking the Lord for his many benefits, because the Lord blesses me in some way. Maybe someone gives generously to the ministry, and I thank him, but all too often I find that I'm asking for the next thing without being genuinely grateful in my heart for what God has already done. So I think we have to cultivate this habit of thankfulness. But anyway, as I was saying, those who have traveled down the Calvary Road for any length of time can surely testify to the truth that God is ever faithful. Not only so, but as we weekly set aside our tithes and offerings, and we ought to do that, we're reminded that all we are, all we ever hope to be, is a gift from God. As Moses communicated to the children of Israel, we tithe so that we may learn to revere the Lord our God always. I mean, think about that. There's a connection between reverencing God and giving. As we all know, learning to reverence the name of God is not just something for the Old Testament. It is a timeless principle. It's as crucial today as it was in the days of Moses, because long before Moses, the Bible records Jacob's promise to God, "Of all that you give to me, I will give you a tenth." And long after Moses, Jesus reaffirmed the practice of tithing, not for outward appearances, but as an outward expression of an inward reality. Not only so, in the fourth century, the great church father Jerome echoed the words of Malachi, who intimated that failing to pay tithes and offerings was, well, tantamount to robbing God, a prescription, I would say, for financial ruin. We should also note that tithing in the Old Testament not only prepared God's people to become hilarious givers, but also produced a temple of unparalleled splendor. Tithing, well, it transformed the Israelites who pined for the pleasures and the protection of pagan Egypt more than the one who had miraculously parted the Red Sea. They were transformed into joyful givers. And the Bible chronicles the prayer of David as he thanked God for the very privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. I love this passage. It's 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You should read it when you have some time. Read the whole context. But in part, this is what is said. "But who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people, who are here have given to you. In other words, what began as a spiritual discipline had evolved into sheer delight. So I want to leave you with something as we close the broadcast today. And that is, there is no telling what could be accomplished in our generation if we too catch the joy of contagious giving. Not only would we be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe, but we would be enabled to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick. And like our forefathers who founded great centers of Christian education, who established countless hospitals, who funded myriad relief organizations, our generation, and remember, we cannot do anything about the past generation or the future, but we can do something about our generation. Our generation might yet leave an indelible mark on our world. Because only when the training wheels of tithing come off will the world of free will giving become our playground. I want to mention that all of the material that I've been talking about on the broadcast today, you can find in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, that book available for those who support the ministry. And for those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. You've tuned in to a deep dive on the subject of giving as we come to the close of 2016 and embark upon a brand new year. Consider the habit of giving. Consider joining many, many people who are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Become a partner with the Christian Research Institute, because as you do, you will expand the reach of a ministry. You're not giving to us, but through us. Expand the reach of a ministry that God has anointed for just such a time as this. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or just talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Out of here for today. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Russell Kirk has captured our modern plight, stating, "A good many people fret themselves over the rather improbable speculation that the Earth may be blown asunder by nuclear weapons. The grimmer and more immediate prospect is that men and women may be reduced to a subhuman state through limitless indulgence in their own vices, with ruinous consequences to society. But despite the darkness, the good news is that believers can help others and themselves become winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. As thanks for your gift and support of CRI's life-changing work, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Stu Epperson's First Words of Jesus, which poignantly connects the story of Christmas with the victory of the cross and resurrection. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.